Now it's really a pleasure for me to welcome Haresh and Kartik Muralidharan. They are both students at North Allegheny High School. And before we talk a little bit, I'm going to start with you, Kartik, if you could just tell me a little bit about yourself, what year you're in, if you have any shout-outs. This is the perfect time to do that.
Hello, my name is Kartik. I go to North Allegheny Intermediate High School. I am in ninth grade, and I mainly started chess. Like, I have a hobby of chess, like, since a young age, and that's, like, really, like, allowed me to... Chess part has allowed me to, like, passion, like, explore my passion with that chess and, like, make me spread that. Same with my brother.
That's great. And we'll talk more, too, in a moment about chess bar. Haresh, anything just so folks get to know who you are as they are hearing you for the first time, possibly?
Yeah. Hello, I'm Haresh. I'm a junior at North Allegheny Senior High School. I have a lot of hobbies ranging from like science and math to things like learning languages. But something that's really stuck from my childhood to up until now is chess. And that's why we created a whole organization to teach people chess and develop their problem solving skills, because it's a really nice free game that gets a lot of people interested, and it creates a nice fun community. And that's why that's the one thing, like, out of all the other things that I do, that has really stuck.
So Haresh is 16, Kartik mm-hmm. is 14, and these two people have come up with an organization called Chesspire, which is like a Inspire, so chess with the word P-I-R-E at the end. When did you first learn chess? Haresh, you started at a really young age, right?
Mm-hmm. I think I started when I was around 7. My dad enrolled me in some chess courses, and I'd say, I'll try it out. We'll see how it goes. And it was a pretty interesting game when I first learned it with a whole, like, class. We had this one teacher, Jerry Myers, who used to have a pretty good chess community in central Pittsburgh. But since COVID, he retired, and there's been some kind of, like, void in the chess space, I guess. And, yeah, that's what we were trying to fill. I got really interested when I was in middle school, when I learned that I could go to tournaments and I could, like, make money, could go into, like, statewide tournaments. And, like, that's when I really got interested during chess. And that's when my passion really grew, and I started attending more and more tournaments, going to more and more states.
What captivated you about chess?
I like the fact that it was a very fair game. Like, other games like poker or stuff, there's always that element of chance. Or even things with other mainstream sports, it's always like there's always some factor of genetics. Like, if you're taller, if you're stronger, like, there's that kind of uneven of the playing field. But in chess, it's always an even playing field. You both have the same number of pieces, the same number, number of moves, but it's up to you and your intelligence, just like how much, it's just the game in front of you. There's no other external factors. If you lose or win, it's you, and you take full ownership over that.
Yeah, it really combines very objective, rigid rules with a very subjective approach, ranging from how you open, and after the first few moves, it can go, you know, in thousands and thousands of different directions. What about you, Kartik? When did you start playing, and what's captivated you about chess?
Yeah, I really started playing, like, same time as my brother, like, when I was, like, 5 or 6 years old, because we have, like, a 2-year difference. And, like, I've also been going to the same tournaments as my brother. And what really captivated me was, like, the friendship aspect. As I was entering, like, late elementary school and early middle school, I started to realize that more and more people also play chess, and it allowed me to, like, connect with a lot more people that I wouldn't, like, normally connect with.
And that's really what you're doing with Chesspire, the organization that you founded. It's fascinating to think that two people who may not speak the same language can play chess with one another. And somebody who might be in her 80s could play chess with somebody who is 8 years old. Tell me about some of the things, some of your thoughts about how chess can be used to connect people.
I feel like because of the chess, it has like a very simple like rule set, but like it's still like very complex that like it, like anyone can play it like regardless of background. And this what like allows it to like connect with so much more people and be like a global and like all inclusive game that can that anyone can play and learn and get good at.
I like how, going off what Kartik said, it's such an accessible game. It doesn't matter what your age is, what, like, previous things you have. It's just about chess, and that's, like, that one even playing field, as I said before, and anyone can access it. And even though it's such simple rules, like, the amount of chess games that can be played, I was looking into this, it's more than the amount of atoms in the observable universe. Just think about that. The number of ways you can play a chess game is, like, unfathomable. There's so many ways it can be done with such simple rules, and just about anyone can learn how to play, and that's what makes it so accessible to build that such a diverse community, because literally anyone can get started. It's just you and the board.
Now, you both played tournament chess, and I suspect you were both pretty good at it. Did that ever take the fun out of it? I would think it would be a lot of pressure to play in tournaments, and after a while, I'm just curious if that maybe inspired you to create a setting where people could play chess more leisurely and sort of humanely. And I don't want to assume that's the case, but I'm just curious. I know when I started to play competitive tennis, when I was in high school, I did not enjoy it as much as I had when I was just playing for fun.
Yeah, so the thing is, it's like spice. If you have too much of competition and you're focused on only the outcome, it takes a lot of the fun out of it. But if it's like you're just like a little bit of friendly competition and just like trying to build each other up and get better to win that tournament, that gives that like the right amount of spice to like get that excitement going. And that's what I found when going to a lot of tournaments. If I was so focused on like the outcome of trying to win, then it doesn't become as much fun. But if you try to think of each game as a learning opportunity, because no matter what, you either win or you learn. So going in with that mindset gives me, it makes chess a lot more fun. You're just trying to learn, you're trying to have fun, and just trying to get a good mental workout.
What about you, Kartik?
Yeah, like, I'm in, like, the same vein. Like, the competition aspect is, like, fun, like, up to a certain point. So if you attend, like, too much competition, it starts to drain you. But, like, a little bit of competition is, like, it, like, helps you, like, you want to do better, you want to perform, and that's kind of, like, drives you to become better at chess and better at the game.
You're listening to two brothers, Haresh and Kartik Muralidharan. Am I doing okay with your last name?
Yeah, it's Muralidharan or Muralidharan.
Muralidharan.
Yeah.
Muralidharan. You would think I would be better at that by now. But I'm glad you guys are here. They're 16 and 14, respectively, and they're in the North Allegheny School District. Now, let's talk about Chessfire. You guys founded this organization, and let's talk about your mission and purpose. I'll just turn it over to you for that.
So yeah, I founded Chessfire like around like the end of last year, and since COVID, there was that like void in the Pittsburgh community, but also that kind of void like in the suburbs, there wasn't that big of a thriving chess community. So we wanted to create that community for a lot of people to come together and work towards the common goal of getting better at chess. So our official mission is to inspire the next generation of problem solvers through chess education, because chess has so many benefits attached to it. You just through one simple game, you can develop problem solving, decision making, planning, time management, risk analysis, and so many things that you can develop, like essential life skills you can develop through chess. And this will improve all aspects of your life, such as like it correlates to scholastic achievement and that kind of thing. So that's why we wanted to spread the love of chess, because of all the great things about it, and to create that like loving and supporting community to fill that void.
I'm looking at the website as you're speaking, And it looks like you have entry points for youth who are just learning chess or maybe who don't know how to play yet, as well as for more experienced chess players. Is there an age range that you are hoping to attract?
Not necessarily. The thing about chess, as we talked about before, is it's accessible to everyone. With our previous summer camp, we did it with everyone from like elementary schoolers and middle schoolers and beyond. But when we expand in the future, there's no actual age range because someone who's much older can learn the same amount of chess and improve their mental ability just as much as anyone else. So there's no age-like restriction. You can have, targeting, like, schools and universities, that kind of thing, you can have that sort of, like, age-like recommendation, but there's no actual restriction because it's a game that anyone can play.
So that's really cool. You could, in theory, have a 7-year-old and a 15-year-old both in what you call a tiger level program or the cub level program. You've broken out cohorts based on experience, and they can be learning from one another. And as you play chess in this kind of environment, do you also get to know your opponent personally as well, or your partner? I would imagine in competitive chess, you know, you're probably watching the clock and thinking really hard. But in this kind of setting, I'm curious if you get a chance to just get to know your partner a little bit better.
Yeah, like as we, in our previous summer camp, we started to realize that some people are, like we had like practice games at the end of our, at the end of each day, and as these people were playing each other, they started to like have some conversation as it wasn't like any like official tournament. And throughout these conversations, they realized that they had a lot more in common than differences, and they were like more likely to become friends, and they were able to meet like so much more people through this opportunity. So I feel like as you play, you can also like talk about your ideas and or like other interests that you have, as it's just like, because in this like relaxed, laid-back setting, you, it's not really an opponent, but rather a friend that can help you learn.
Yeah, I used the word opponent and then quickly replaced it with partner. And it's not really a competition as much as it is, you know, a pastime or something to do, not to water it down that much. But it's been a while since I've played chess, but I used to always play. And it can kind of be almost as much fun to lose as to win because you learn things and you get to see strategies that other people might have as they play. So you have an event coming up next month.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, as we go into this fall season, a lot of schools and universities are opening up. So we are planning to expand to more and more places to spread the love of chess. And we're already setting up chapters, like with one in CMU Africa. We were working with the student's local services director and trying to set up some camp there so the people in Carnegie Mellon can also, Carnegie Mellon in Rwanda can also learn chess, as well as we were working with some people in Norristown to help some underprivileged communities who may not have as much access. And we're planning on sponsoring their like United States Chess Federation memberships so they can get introduced to the world of chess and develop their like problem solving and decision making skills through just a low cost game of chess.
What a great idea. How can people get more involved? If somebody is listening who would like to get their school involved or maybe a member of their family involved, what's the easiest way to investigate that?
The best way is either to fill out our, if you want to participate in a Chesspire session, if you go to our website, chesspire.org, so that's chesspire.org, there's an interest form there, but you can also email me directly at Haresh, H-A-R-E-S-H, at chesspire.org, and I'll get that email and reply to you on whatever question, comment, or concern you might have.
That's excellent. Have either of you started to think about life after high school yet, what you might want to do?
I mean, I'm still, like, looking into many different fields. I'm starting to lean more towards like a science-based field, but I still do not know directly what I want to go into.
And you've got some time. Kartik, you're in ninth grade now, right?
Yeah.
And what about you, Haresh?
Now I'm getting into junior year. I have to like lock in on what I need to do. So I'm thinking, based on a lot of things that interest me, that computer science and artificial intelligence is probably going to be what I'm most interested in and want to pursue as a career. And I've done, with SLV, I've done like a audio documentary on AI hiring bias and like investigating that kind of thing. And yeah. I really like that experience.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that too. And I probably should have said this at the beginning. I met Haresh. He has done a number of things here at SLB, but one was one of the social justice documentaries that you heard me talking about earlier. And his was really interesting. You, and it was Zoe, right, working with you, did a documentary about how artificial intelligence may lead to an unintentional bias in hiring as you apply the algorithms and the screening of resumes to the pool of applicants. And I'm curious what came from your research, or what if you could reflect on what you learned as part of that. And I would imagine there's a lot we need to look out for.
Yeah, the thing is, a lot of people are either on one side or the other of the spectrum. Like, AI is going to take our jobs and it's going to be super unfair. Or we just use AI because it's super easy and it's like one way to easily pick the best candidates objectively. But the real answer is more of like a middle ground. AI is good at some things that humans fall short on, but it's also bad at some things that humans are good on. So what we came from a lot of the research is that AI and humans need to work together, and there needs to be the appropriate level of safeguards. Like, we can't replace a hiring human resources director with AI, but we shouldn't also just like keep it completely out, because they might miss something that AI might objectively catch through the algorithm or statistics. So they should both work in tandem and learn from each other, basically, and that would lead to the most accurate and best candidates for the job.
Yeah, I can't imagine hiring somebody solely based on what a computer's analysis of their resume might tell you, or even what a personality test might tell you about the person. It seems like you would need to meet face-to-face in order to do that. Kartik, have you had much interaction with AI or the techniques as you're learning?
Not as much as my brother, but I'm still like looking at like at this stuff. I might want to learn to like maybe implement it to my own coding experiences, but no, I haven't like researched it as much as my brother has.
It's pretty fascinating. I mean, there's applications to what we do here at SLV. You know, music services are pretty good at suggesting artists and songs. If you like this, then you'll like this. If you like that, then you'll like that. Although I think our brains can be good at it too, and there can be tension along those lines. Chess is a great way to use your own intelligence to develop it. Do either of you play chess against a virtual opponent ever? You know, computer chess where you're playing against a machine rather than a human at the other end?
Yeah, that's pretty fun to do. Chess.com, I know, has like a bunch of like different like quote-unquote personalities that they coded into the artificial intelligence that's playing you. Like, one can be a lot more like risky or dangerous, like we'll try everything. And some will be a lot more safe and defensive, and you have to try to crack their defenses and try to checkmate them. So it gives you a lot of variety how you can program it. And even AI is good with just practicing chess in general, because like it can analyze like which weaknesses, like when you put in a game that you played against a human opponent even, it can analyze and see, oh, this is where you were wrong. You probably should have looked at this, this, and that. And it can tell you what to improve.
Oh, that's like a coach. That's that's really pretty cool to be able to do that. Do schools play chess with one another in matches or anything? Is there like a WPIAL equivalent for chess?
I mean, I know in North Allegheny, there's this like in middle school with like the forgot the name of the organization, I think.
NAGC.
Yeah, NAGC, Northern Area Gifted Consortium. They like host like in like different suburbs of like northern Pittsburgh, like North Allegheny, Fox Chapel, North Hills, and like in school districts. And they basically have like the top students of each school compete each other in like a chess tournament. And there's also like different teams there. And it's like it's a nice way to like actually like see how well you can play against like different people that you might not have the opportunity to play against.
Yeah, I know some schools that do math that way. I can't remember what it's called. It might be math leads or a math competition. And it's kind of neat to meet students from other schools as you do that. But back to Chessbuyer, I really admire both of you. You started this organization to bring people together. I know through conversations with Haresh that you want it to be free and open and easy to access so chess is available for everyone. We just have about another minute or so left. Is there anything else you'd like to say about Chessbuyer? Please feel free.
Yeah, so as we're expanding, we faced a lot of challenges like at the very beginning with like financial, like working out how to start a nonprofit and get that so we could be tax deductible. And that whole thing of getting sponsorships was really difficult in the beginning. But now as we're expanding, we are getting more and more company sponsorships. And as we expand, we'll probably be needing even more fiscal sponsorships in the future. So if anyone here listening knows any companies, then shoot me an email and we can probably work something out for Chessbuyer, for them to be an official sponsor of Chessbuyer so we can help spread the love of chess together.
Excellent. And you can get a hold of Haresh at Haresh@Chessbuyer. Just two S's, right? Chess Fire dot org, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chessfire.org. Anything else you wanted to mention, Cardiff?
Yeah, it's like same thing as Haresh. Like, as we're going to expand to like more and more kids, we're going to need like more like sponsorships to help fund like these like underprivileged kids and like they're starting their chess journey. And as they can like get into this field of chess and get into this amazing opportunity to get better at chess and also as better at other skills as well.
And again, if you go to chessfire.org, you can learn more about what's available, what you can do as a member of that community. I can't thank you both enough for being part of things here this morning, and I hope we'll see you again. It might be fun to do a radio documentary about everything you've done. So thanks for being with us. Haresh and Kartik Muralidharan.
Muralidharan.
I'm getting better. Should have written it down. I'm really thankful. Do you have any other siblings?
No, we don't.
Just
do
us.
Well, thank you. Haresh and Kartik Muralidharan. And learn more at chessbuyer.org.